Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam. Duchas Gzeilu Vaveda, Perk Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel in the Maznayim text. We're on page 248 and 249. We're discussing different types of shinuyim, different types of changes. We said a shinui that does not come back to its original state is considered a shinui. A shinui that does come back to its original state is not considered a shinui. And what are the different situations that create this? So that's what we're going to do in the next four halachas as we complete this perek. Further examples of this. Hagozel ma'os yishanos, if you steal old coins. I'm sorry. Yud dalet. Gozel kairis gedoiles, you stole big beams, large beams. Vasanu katanus, and you cut them down and made smaller beams. Lo kono, you haven't acquired them at all, because that is not considered a qualitative shinui. It's the same amount of square footage of beams that are there. However, if you change them from beams and ason luchos, you turn them into planks and boards, achnishtana shmum, that now the name has changed and it's an entirely different item, then kona, he has acquired it, because now the name has made it different. It's a totally different thing. Now, continuing another case. Guzzle lulav, you steal a lulav. A normal kosher lulav, a palm branch. Vehi freed olav, and now you've separated the leaves. Okay. Now, once you've separated the leaves, is it going to be called a lulav again? It might be called a lulav, but it's worth $0 as a lulav is, and there's no mitzvahs done with that. You separate to the point where it's not kosher. Kana ha'olim, you have now acquired the leaves because you've changed it from a lulav to a palm branch, to a non-lulav. Could be if you knock the pitum off. You know, it would be a shaila, because after it depends if it's completely puzzle or not puzzle. You're right; that could be an interesting similarity. Gazal olim. What if you steal a bunch of leaves, right? Vason chufia. You turn them into a broom. Right? You tied it up and made it into a broom. One of those, those straw brooms, whatever. So, kana, you have acquired it. Why have you acquired it? Now, you could ask a question on this. What do you mean? Just unloosen it and take it apart. You'll be back to the original leaves that you have. So, the Orcha Shulchan speaks out. He says, it's dafka where you separated every leaf into two. In other words, you took the leaves and you cut them in half. And after cutting them all in half, now you bundle them together, and now you make the broom with that. So now you can't make the leaves go back to being the leaves they were once you've destroyed those leaves as they were. Okay. Gozal tole. If you steal a lamb, a tole is 1 year and below in age. Okay, that's a tole. Vinasa isle, and now it becomes a ram. Or ego vinasa shore, or a calf, and it becomes an ox. Hareiz a shinui biyado. That's considered a shinui vekano, and you've acquired it because it's a substantive change. Even though here the name is not different, we said a shore of one day is a shore, and a tlev one day is a tlev. Doesn't matter in terms of the genre, whatever you're going to call it, right? It's the name. It doesn't matter. It's a quantitative difference. It's a different kind of an animal. And how do you pay? Umishalim kishas ha-gezela. You pay according to the value of when it was stolen. Even though the Baal wasn't miyayish, why? Because it's gone through this qualitative change. He's been coined. I only have to return what I stole, and what I stole was the taleh. I did not steal an aisle. Now it's an aisle, but the aisle is mine, and that made it mine. I've made the shinui, and I pay back what I stole, what I owe, and that's the taleh. Or the eagle.
So the question becomes now, what about all the payros he gets from the sheep until it matures? And there's no yield.
If there were just payros, he'd have to give back those payros.
Like
back.
The shearings and stuff along the way.
He'd have to give that back because he wasn't miyayish on that. Right. Before the shinui developed in the animal.
So how does halacha define the shinui? Is that at a specific age?
It's saying it now is an aisle, which is
specific age are we talking?
Well, it's whatever the ages are required. If it's 2 years, 3 years, whatever, however we quantify, I have to look up again what makes it a short. I mean, a calf is a calf, and then you have a full fledged bull.
You have an ox,
right? So whatever the age where it now is now a bull, it's a bull. So whatever it produced in Shevach until that point would go back to the owner. Okay, now here's a classic rule that is, we're out of the questions now of what determines if it's still considered the old object, but it's still related a bit to the idea. Gozal kli v'shibro, you stole a utensil and now it's broken. So let's say you stole a glass. The glass is worth $5. Now you broke it and the pieces is worth $1. So you have two options. What you'd say, well, here, go, Mr. Owner, here's your pieces. It's worth $1. And I'll give you $4 is the difference, and I've paid you back. Or we say, no, you know what? The pieces aren't worth much. It's worth $1, but he doesn't care to have the pieces. He wants $5. So what's the halacha? So gozal kli v'shibro, you steal a utensil and you break it. Ein shomin lo hapchas. We do not evaluate its depreciation, which means we say, okay, the broken glass is worth $1. That's the valuation of the depreciation. It's worth $1. Here's the dollar's worth of depreciated goods. Goodbye. And here's another $4. We don't do that. Ela mishalim damav. You pay just money. V'hakli hashover shel hagazlan. And the broken utensil goes back to the gazlan. He keeps, doesn't go back. It remains with the gazlan.
Same rule as before.
Yes. Now, but, next page. Imratzu habalim lito hakli hashover. What if the Baal says, no, I would prefer the broken glass for the sentimental value, whatever. Notly, and he's allowed to take it. Mishalim apras, and then the gazlan pays the remainder that's due. Now, from this wording of the Rama, it would appear that it is the owner's prerogative, right? That the owner is given this prerogative. Let's say, what if it conflicts with the owner's wishes, and the ganif's wishes? Okay? Let's say the ganif says, you know what? I insist on paying you the $5. I want the glass. And the owner says, I want the glass. So it would appear from the Rambam that it's the owner's prerogative.
But isn't there a shinui right now in the object?
Right. So that is the Magid Mishnah's question. The Magid Mishnah asked that very question. He says, why is the robber not considered acquiring the pieces by causing the article to change, right? It's no longer a glass anymore. And that's the question of Magid Mishnah. So we could say it might be a shinui, but this is like a takona now for the Baal. Because we're not worried about you. You're not doing any chew. You broke the glass, man. So we're concerned about the owner. The owner gets a little break over here. And that's what it would seem from the Rambam as he concludes and says, Shezu takona hila ba'alim. This is a decree that's going to help the owner. Ve'im lo ratzu. And if he doesn't want that decree, he doesn't want the $5, then harishus biyadam. He has the permission in his hand what he wants to do. Ve'chein kol kayetzvem, and all kinds of similar cases. Meaning, if let's say, a ganif obtains an animal through robbery, right? He steals an animal, and now the animal dies, and all he got left is a carcass. So the carcass is only worth a fraction of the cost. Do we give him the carcass and money, or just takes all money? Same kind of concept in all these cases. Tes Zion. Gzela shalonishtana vahukra. So now we're going to talk a different case now, and this is going to be moving on into the next parak as well. Let's say he stole something and it really didn't essentially change at all. It's the same thing you stole. However, vahukra, it has now increased in value. The market value has gone up. He stole this tape recorder that was $100 brand new from the computer store, and now it's worth a lot more, which would not be normal, but that's could
say
be.
Say a gold watch. He stole a gold watch.
And it's worth more. It's hukra. So now, even though the Baal was miyayish, and if we're talking about pure old shevach, increase like shearings, this are new things where we said it goes to the gazlan, so you might think and say, hey, you know, there's an increase in value over here. It was worth $1 when we stole it, but it's worth $4 now. Let the ganif get the increase, right? That's what we would normally say this, right? What do we say if the animal it now has developed a coat of hair? What do we say? Well, the coat goes to Gazan, so we'd give the cow back to the sheep back to the owner, and the owner has to pay back the difference. That's the halacha there. So let's say it was worth $1 and you sold, it's worth $2 now. And that would be apparent to Shevach. It's a good increase. And the owner was Miyayish. So what do we say? No! Hareza Choseris Labam, it goes back to the owner. Ve'ein Lagazan Maklum! The owner, the Gazan gets nothing for this. Why? Shalo tikna la gazlan sa shevach achayush elikagon gizlan sa vlad. It's the only takana we made for the gazlan. For him to have profits after yush is like the case of shearings and babies, where there's an actual real increase of the item itself, not an artificial increase that just is by the fluctuating cost. There's a real, you could see there was a little cow now, and now there's a little cow with shearings on top of it. That's something altogether brand new. You can't deny, no matter what the market is, it's worth more qualitatively. It's a different item. But the profits of just the increase in value, if we can return the object the way it is, the gazlan does not acquire any of that increased value. However, what the laws apply when the object is not returned intact, that will be the laws of the upcoming chapter when it's not intact. That's a whole different kettle of fish. What else does he say? If let's say the gzela is not around at all, right? He's gonna. So the Rambam Lam says, let's say the vessel was broken by itself, right? So then, what does he got to pay? We're gonna see in the next halacha exactly how this comes out, and that becomes a new realm of halacha, which now starts us off into Perek Shlishi, into the third Perek. Okay, halacha al hagoyzel chavis. It's gonna get a little complicated, guys. So we gotta hold on to our hats over here. We gotta get through another parak or so of some tough terrain, and we just gotta halt. We made it through the second parak. We'll make it through this one. Hagoyzel chavis shal yain mechaver. A guy steals a jug of wine from his friend. Varehi shova dinor bishas agzela. When he stole it from him, it was worth one dinor. Vehukra etzlova under barbo. And now while it's in the ganav's possession, it has gone up in value and it's worth four dinorim. So now, what is the halacha? So it depends. Im shiber hachavis. If let's say he broke the barrel, however way he broke it, and of course everything is demolished. Oh shasos, or let's say he drank it all himself. Oh, Machari sold it. Oh, Nesona b'matona achar shohukra. Or he gave it as a gift. Now, all these cases are after it's gone up in value. So let's get the order here. He stole it, was worth one dinar. It has now gone up to four dinars. Intact. And now one of these four things happens. It's broken and drunk, stolen, whatever. At that point, what does he do? Mishalem arba'ah. He has to pay four. Kishas hotso mina olam, like at the time when it has gone out of the world. Or out of his possession. Because it went up in value and is considered up in value while in the owner's possession. Because the ganav was responsible to return this object to the owner the entire time. Till the second before it was stolen, you had to give it back to the owner, and now that's something you have to give back, and the way it is, this was worth four dinarim, and you'd have to give that back, and that's how you have to pay. Because, she'ilu hinicha, because had he let it stay there, and had he not done anything to it, hoisa choseris ba'atzma, it would have gone back by himself. Right? So therefore, that profit would have gone to the owners. So when the thing gets broken, so what is effect happening? When the thing gets broken, it's like he stole three additional dinarim besides the dinar at the time at Exela, and that's why he pays the four. Okay, you got it? In other words, there's like two negative things he did. Negative one is he stole. When you stole a one dinar barrel, you're obliged to pay a one dinar barrel. You could have been giving back at any time, and you're supposed to give back. And if it goes up in value, like we learned in Halacha Tesayim before, you're supposed to give it back. And had you held on to it and give it back, you'd be giving back a four dinar barrel. So the fact that now it has broken because of what you have done, these are cases where you are proactively doing something wrong. Shiber hachavis, you broke the barrel, you drank the wine, you sold it, you gave it as a gift. You did a second bad thing on top of the first bad thing. It was bad enough you stole it, so just give it back as it is. But no, you had to do a second thing to not allow that to happen. So now you have to pay for all this. However, nishpura me'eleho avda, what if it broke by itself? Oh, avda just got lost, and it wasn't the negligence or the direct cause of the gazlin. Mishalem dinor, you only pay a dinor, kishas hagzela, like at the time when you stole it.
Yes.
Right?
So not because, due to
because this is due to other causes, not the robber's negligence. If it's the negligence, because he stole this thing and that's what he should pay. I would have returned this object when it was a $1 object, and that's what I did. I didn't do a second bad thing. I did one bad thing. I stole a one dinar chavis. And that's really what I owed to you. And if I could give it back, I would give it back. And I would have given it back to you. But since it's broken, I can't give it back to you. I didn't negligently do something bad. And that makes the difference over there. Okay, that's case number one. Now let's reverse it. Halacha base. Ha'isa shava bishas ha'gzela arba. When he stole the barrel of jug of wine, it was worth 4 dinars. Ubishas hotsa mina olam dinar. Now when it leaves the world, it's only worth 1 dinar. So that's an interesting case. So what happens now? Mishalim arba kishas agzeli. You have to pay 4 just at the time when you stole it. Why? Because we have a principle. Kol agazlonim mishalim kishas agzela. A gazlan has to pay back what it was worth at the time of the gzela. You stole a 4 dinar object, you got to return a 4 dinar object. Now if it just went down and it's still here, then just give it back. Just give it back. If nothing happened, I just give you heishivis gzela shir gazal. If the barrel's here, I just give back the barrel and finish. But it's not. And now I stole a four dollar barrel. So I've got to return it. And here where there's no distinctions made. Bein sheshibra o sheshasa, bein shenishbra of the mila. It doesn't matter if he broke it or drank it or broke by itself or got lost by itself. It's not going to make any difference over here.
Lose,
right? It's not going to make any difference. So the Mephoshim saying in the halacha before, When the thing went up in value, he pays the 4 dinarim because it's like you gozled a second time. It's like you gozled a second time. Right? So that's what you pay again. You stole the first dinar, and then you broke something worth 3 more dinarim. You pay for that increase. But over here, as it's gone down in value, but you stole from the owner a chavis that was as the time when it was 4 dinarim. And that's what you gotta pay, the 4 dinarim. You did one bad thing and you pay for that one bad thing, and that's why look, you have to have it. Okay. Good. Halacha Gimel. Interesting case now. Okay, we got through the tough part now. Okay. Hagoizel choisel sheyesh bo chamishim tmorim. The gazlan steals a basket that has 50 dates in it. Okay? I'm sorry, chamishim. The Hebrew says chamishim, the English says 5.
Yeah.
So I don't know, unless he has a different gear, so the English. Let me see what the Rambam La'am also says, chamishim tmorim. So it really doesn't matter, but we have 50. Could be it's a typo in the English. I don't know. But every text I have seems to say chamishim, 50. And that's what the Hebrew says.
That's
what we say. So you steal a basket where, and you'll see, from the context, it probably makes sense. 50 tomorrow. Ukeshimochar hachoisel kulo. And if you would sell the entire basket of dates, ka'achas, in one time, yimochar betisha, it would go for 9 dinarim, whatever, 9 whatever. And when it's sold wholesale, whatever you want to call it. However, ukeshimochar achas, but if the guy would bother to sell one at a time,
retail,
then yimochar basar, at the end of the day, he'd make 10 instead of 9. So the question is, now that the gazlan stole it, how much does the gazlan have to pay over here? Wholesale or retail.
So
Eina Mishalim Elatisha. He only pays 9. And the Nigzel can't make the following claim. Eina Nigzel Yochel Oimrlo. The Nigzel can say, Ani Achas Achas Ayisi Meicher. I would have sold it 1 at a time. And if I would have sold 1 at a time, I would have made 10. We don't say that. Why? Because how did the gazlan steal it? He didn't steal it 1 at a time. He stole the whole thing. Right? So in other words, it's 1 thing together. Now, I'm not doubting you, Mr. Owner. You could have taken this bag of 50 and separated all 50 and gone through the hassle of selling it 50 times, 1 at a time. You could have done that. But that's not how it was. It wasn't sitting in the stall 50 all on the counter like this. all over the place, and he went and scooped up 50 random ones, which were open to being sold at one at a piece. When it's in a basket, all 50 in one thing, that's what it's destined to be sold for. And he sold it as what it normally sold. Yeah, we're not denying you may have wanted to change your mind and then sell one. But you know what? It didn't look that way to us, and the Gazanet didn't look that way to him. And that would require a whole new change of your perspective, which we just don't say because he didn't steal it in that changed state. And therefore, we give a little leniency to the Goslin. Okay? V'chein adin b'mazik. And that's the same law by a mazik. Let's say a guy just damages a basket. Same law. V'chein kol k'yoytze b'zeh b'nichsei hedjot. That's all we're talking about, objects that belong to hedjot. Non-hegdish. Non-hegdish, we take the easier way for the Goslin. But let's say this was a basket of 50 pairs, and it belonged to Hegdish. Ain't a king, we don't say that, but he's got to pay the 10. Ella, Mishalem, sorry, pays the 10. Why? Because we're talking about consecrated property. That's messing with God over here now. And you don't want to be caught on the short end of the stick with God. We have to be more strict when we're dealing with Hegdish. They're dealing with other people, because other people, we could say this is the general assumption over here. It's not an issue of Hegdish. It's a question of being moil be Hegdish. You're stealing from Hegdish is an infinitely worse crime than, you know, maybe you didn't return to the guy exactly how it should have been returned to the fellow. All right, let's continue another halacha or two. How are we doing on the time? We're doing fine. Okay, halacha dalet. Okay, now a whole bunch of cases coming up here. You're going to have one slew of cases with a halacha, and then another slew of cases with halacha. Basically, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, what I've been preparing, it's been a day since I looked at this. So I'm going back to deep, long-term memory here. The question is: there is a concept of a type of a damage, a hezek she'eno nikar. There is a concept of a damage, and sometimes with a damage, it doesn't look so clear as a damage. We discussed this issue once. By damaging, and now we can discuss issue by stealing. You know, there is certain things, but what if I did something and effectively it's worth less, but you look at it, it doesn't look any different. Right. So that's going to be coming into this discussion over here. We're going to show examples where it does look different, and examples where it doesn't look different, and where we're going to be more machmer to the Gazan when it does look different, as opposed to when it doesn't look different, and that's the discussion of all the halachas over here. Halacha da. Guzzle behema vihiskina. You steal a nice animal, a nice healthy animal, and you keep it to the point where it gets older. It gets older while in your possession, Mr. Gazan, and it can't work anymore. Oh, kocha shokacha she'eno yochol lahachzor. Or it becomes weak, and it will never regain its strength again. K'gon chaloyim she'en lem refuas ta'ola. Let's say certain sicknesses where there's no cure for those sicknesses. So clearly the animal was healthier, and while it was by the Gazan, it has now discernibly gone down in its health. And just by looking at it, you can see that this is a less valuable animal. Or another example. Oshagozel matbeya v'nistak opsolo hamelech. Let's say you stole a coin, and that particular coin, after you stole it, it developed a crack in it. Or the king, who's in charge of the minting laws, the king says it's no longer a valid type of coin anymore. And the king, you know, has authority over everywhere, right? So that would be the kind of hezek, a damage that is nikar, it's very discernible, because everybody realizes it, right? In other words, the king is in charge of the whole country. He says loonies are now not currency anymore.
Confederate dollars.
You know, it's just not anymore considered. Liras, I think, are no longer considered tender in Israel, right?
Yeah. Right.
So there is clear. Oh, or another example, Shigozo Peros Vihir Kivo Kulon. Let's say you steal a basket of fruits and all of them spoil. The Mefarshim say it doesn't have to be all of them, it could be more than half is enough. Oshagozel yain vehichmis. You steal wine and it turns into vinegar. Hareza, what's that like? It's like me shagozel cleave shibro. It's like you stole a utensil and you broke it. Umishalim kishas agzel. You have to pay the value it was at the time when it was stolen. Because now he's koina with this shinui, right? So, even though for Shevach we say it's not a Shinui, right? But to collect Shevach, but here we're saying no, it's damaged and that's it, and now he's got to pay for it. Finished. He pays it what it was worth, the higher value. He stole a healthy animal, that's what he's got to pay back. Because now as it's gone down in value, that's the shunui that makes the goslin being koine it, and now it's his. So now what's he got to do? He's got to pay back a healthy animal. He's got to give him back a healthy animal. The value of a healthy animal, the value of wine, the value of these fruits, because it now has gone through a shunui where it's yours and it's irrevocable. The damage is clear, and now you got to pay him back everything. But on the other hand, so let's say you stole the animal and it got weakened, but it's the type of weakness that it can come back. Or you steal a servant and he gets older. Now, although that's something that's not going to get better, but we have a rule that avodim are compared to karka, are compared to land, and by land we have a rule that it always remains the original owner. There's no such thing as stealing land. You can take a guy's land and just damage it beyond belief. It still goes back to the owner because land is land. And we have a xeris akasav that servants are compared to land. So we don't look at changes to a servant. It's a special exception. You steal a coin that in this region it's not usable, but another region it's usable. Okay. Oh, shagazel peres v'yerkivu mikzasan. You steal fruits and only some of them are damaged, but the minority, but not the majority of them. Oh, truma v'nitmas. So let's say you sell truma, and it became tame after you stole it. Now the fact that it's tame, it's forbidden to be eaten. Let's say a pound of apples is worth $3 to eat it, but now that it becomes tame, the only thing you can use the apples for now is what? Burning. Kindling apples is only worth 30 cents. Right? But you look at the apples, they look like fine apples. Nice. This is what we call the hezek she'eno nikar, a damage that's not recognizable. All these cases are not called a recognizable one. You steal chametz before Pesach, you keep it in your possession until Pesach passes, and we know there's a takana that it's considered like you can't eat it anymore even after Pesach, but it doesn't look any different than the day you stole it. Oh, next page. Let's say you steal an animal and you do an avera with it, and because you did a sin, it's got to be destroyed, or let's say it's disqualified as a korban, let's say. And an animal that can be a korban is worth a lot more than an animal that can't be used as a korban. Or it developed some kind of a psul, some type of a blemish that you can't bring it as a korban. Let's say you put a slight blemish in it that's not discernible. Let's say you put a scratch in its eye. You can't discern that, but it's not good for a korban anymore. Or it's going out that it's condemned to be stoned. Let's say while you had the animal, it killed another person, and now it's going to be executed. Or let's say that man was sodomizing with the animal, it's got to be executed. Oh, yeah. But the animal right now looks ganz fine and wonderful. So what do we say in all these cases? And now the owner, we catch the ganav, and the ganav says, here it is. Here, take your cow, take your chametz, take all these things. Omerlo, we say, Hare shalchol avanecha, here it is before you. Umachzer osa ba'atzma. And he returns that exact object as it is. Why? What's the rule in all these cases? This is a hezek she'eino nikar. And although clearly its value has depreciated, and in some circumstances it is totally worthless, but that's not apparent in the physical form of the article that he got through that robbery. Therefore, wow. It is not of any consequence to the court. That's what we say. Hezek she'eina nikar lo shmei hezek. That's not considered a hezek, right? And in all these cases, it's the hezek nikar. And where there is the hezek nikar, then it is you have to pay. But it's a hezek she'eina nikar, you don't have to pay.
So if you
now, even though hezek she'eina nikar, there is when in the case of mazik, when a guy damages, not a robber, but a damager. By a hezek she'eina nikar, the rabbis were strict over there that you pay him. So a guy shouldn't be used to damaging. But when we learned by chovel umazik, we learned that hezek she'eina nikar, you do pay. Why? Because we don't want guys, you know, can you imagine this guy who takes truma, makes a tummy. Guy sodomizes an animal. Like, you know, he's damaging these animals in ways. So a guy, you know, can have free reign to these things. So we punish him for that. don't get in the habit of doing these kinds of things, right? By Gazlan, they didn't find fit to make the knas, because remember, by Gazlan, what do we always got in the back pocket? Takonas Hashavim. We want to make it easier for him to do tshuva. Or, like we've said many times already, you know, if the guy wants to give back the money, there's times they don't even take the money. It's all part of that takonas hashavim. And also, gzela, armed robbery, is not such a usual case, and the rabbis only make knas in the cases that are usual and not unusual. I'm sorry to just do one more, because it's just going right on this. So it's a very short one, it'll just take another minute. Okay, still on 255 and 254, because it's a Bamed Dvor Mamurim, so it's explaining the halachas.
Well, I got to do it tomorrow.
Okay. Bamed Dvor Mamurim, when does all this apply? Keshe Hechzer Agzela. That's if you return the object. You give back the cow that's been sodomized. You bring back the chametz. You've returned it. Avali Nisra Agzela, but what if it's been burnt? Oh, of the Achash Nesrana. After it became Asrana, you lost it. It's gone. Well, if that's the case, you got nothing to give back to the guy. And you have to give him back what you stole. You got to return back money, what it was worth at the time of its theft. Therefore, by implication, we can say the following halacha. Let's say the guy denied it. He swore and said, I denied that I stole it. After it became Asr Bano, he denied it. Vinishba, and he swore. Then what do we say the halacha is? Even though it's not of worth of any value, technically. Right? Technically, could he give it back? It's worth nothing. No. Then what are you paying on? Nothing, right? But what do we know when you lie? You gotta return the thing, the Karen, plus a Chomesh, right. Plus a fifth, plus a Korban Asham.
Yeah.
So if, let's say, in these cases where he denied it after it was prohibited, and it was Osir, right? And then he swore, and then the animal gets lost, let's say, then Chayv Asham, Karen, V'chayimish, V'asham, you have to pay all these things. So the Torah says, if you make a false oath to deny a robbery, you got to pay back the principal, plus a fifth, plus bring a Korban Asham. And in this instance, although the article obtained by robbery itself is valueless, but since it's been lost, and the robber is liable for its original value, he's held liable if he denies the robbery under oath. Atkan, Alocha, hey.